We hear again from the appointed Gospel of Matthew 25. Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took their flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" In the name of Jesus. When Jesus tells us a parable, we can hear it in one of two ways. We can hear it in the way of the law, and that will work, or in the way of the gospel. The way of the law is always the easiest. It's the first way, actually, that we will hear it. As Paul says, the law is written on our hearts, Romans 2:15. Because the law is written on our hearts, the law is the way that we naturally think. It's almost our instinct, we might say. If you wrong me, the first thought of my sinful flesh is not, what can I do to bring this person the gifts of Christ's forgiveness? But the first thought of my sinful flesh is justice. What's right? Get even. Payback. The one who wronged me should pay. The voice of the law. It does make sense. It's written on our hearts. It's what we like to say. It's our first instinct. So with the parable, the first way we will hear it is in the way of the law. So if Jesus gives a parable of five virgins with enough oil for their lamps to wait for the bridegroom and five who fail to bring enough oil, the first way to hear it is the law way. The five with enough oil, they've done a good work. They deserve credit. The five not bringing enough oil, they did badly. They deserve what they get. And this all makes sense according to the law. So the sermon could simply be, have enough oil, have enough faith, and you will be rewarded. Or don't have enough oil, don't have enough faith, and it's bad news for you. With a sermon like that, everyone can go home happy, living under the law, which is what our sinful flesh wants to do. But Jesus doesn't give parables for the law. He doesn't give parables to teach how to do good works or how you must have a bunch of faith. If Jesus did that, then he's just another teacher of the law. And they already had plenty of those. And the law is written on our hearts anyway. So what's the use? We already had the law. Moses gave it. The Ten Commandments spelled it out. Adam and Eve knew it, or else they wouldn't have known to feel guilty when they transgressed the law. We had the law. Jesus did not come for that. But he did need to come for the gospel, so that if we don't hear the parable for the gospel, then we're not yet hearing the parable rightly. We're not yet hearing it for the purpose Jesus gives it. The parable of the 10 virgins, how is this gospel? If we're looking at the virgins and their works, it's not. Five virgins who do good, five who do bad. Now the parable is reduced to teaching to do good things and be rewarded, do bad, and be punished. But there's no Jesus in that. There's no Christ crucified. No grace. No mercy. No gift for the sinner. But what if we don't look at the virgins? What if we look at the one thing in the parable making no sense? The bridegroom. He makes no sense. Matthew 25:6. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept, but at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." the bridegroom is delayed? What does that even mean? He was delayed 5 minutes to comb his hair? He's delayed 10 minutes by a cow in the middle of the road? No, it says he was delayed. But when this bridegroom gets delayed, it's not for 5 or 10 minutes. He doesn't come around all day long. He doesn't show up until midnight. What kind of bridegroom is that? The parable makes no sense until we figure out this bridegroom. The 5 virgins with oil, the 5 with not enough oil, that does, when we think about it, make sense. As a matter of fact, we might even say that the 5 virgins without enough oil were the good virgins. After all, they were expecting the bridegroom to show up on time. They trusted him. They had faith. The 5 with enough oil to spare, to burn past any time appointed for the wedding, to burn even all day long, even until midnight, was that faith? Or was it to have not enough confidence in the bridegroom that he would show up when he's expected? So back to the bridegroom. That's who Jesus is showing us. He's the bridegroom. He's the groom who came to take as his bride the church. As Paul says in Ephesians 5, Christ loves his church. He gave his life for her. He makes her holy by the washing of water with the word. He presents his bride in all her splendor, forgiven, cleansed, sanctified. He's the groom. We are his bride, the church. So now take a quick look at the groom. He shows up when he wants. He shows up not according to our expectations, not according to what we can predict, not according to what makes sense to our sinful flesh, which lives by the law, but he shows up when he chooses. When is the last day when he comes again to judge the living and the dead? He's delayed. How long? We who wait don't know. Now we can start to see the gospel in the parable. A groom showing up as expected, predictably, and how we think he should. If he's going to be a good groom, that all goes well according to the law. The law is predictable. The law is according to what makes sense. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You don't get more predictable than that. But a groom showing up as he chooses, regardless of when we think he should, a groom who doesn't watch the clock, doesn't check the days off the calendar, that groom will have us saying, but it's just not right. It doesn't make sense. It's against the rules. It's contrary to the way the law works. But this groom is Jesus. He shows up how he chooses. He gives gifts how he chooses. This is the gospel, because this groom is the one who comes always to bring mercy over against the law, always to bring his bride into grace, always to give gifts in abundance, beyond expectation, without measure, with no rhyme or reason that would make any sense, except that he is the groom who loves his bride and bestows all the gifts of his name on her according to his will. So he shows up as he chooses. When is the last day when he comes again to judge the living and the dead? No one is given to know, but he will show up. As we suffer in life, as we undergo temptation, and we ask, where is our salvation? When are we delivered? This parable has us looking at the groom and knowing he will show up, though he seems delayed. But as we wait knowing that we belong to him, and his blood cleanses us from all sin. As we endure affliction, as we look around our world and we pray for relief, wondering how long is the pain, this parable has us looking at the groom and knowing he will show up, though for now he tarries. But as we wait, he is with us in his word, and in his word he is bestowing gifts upon us in abundance, without measure, beyond anything we could have expected. Jesus is our groom. We have that promise. We are his bride, the church. That designation was given us in baptism. And this groom, though he tarries, though we cannot control his schedule, though sometimes the way he gives his gifts doesn't seem right to us as we live in our life of flesh, which is under the law. This groom is the groom of the gospel, the groom who cleanses and sanctifies his bride, the church, with all generosity, without measure, beyond making sense. Our eyes look to him. Our faith clings to his word. Our lives are sanctified by his blood. For him, we wait. In the name of Jesus, amen.